And actually, we've got two baptisms coming up in a couple of weeks. Praise the Lord for that. And it's good to see people coming to Christ. Last week, we had a food ministry here in the parking lot. And I'll tell you, that was a busy one. We had food. We had clothes. We had a few hundred people come out to that. And I think the people who come bless us every bit of as much as we bless them, if not more. We receive so much from them, and just to see them each month, I'll tell you, it just stirs our hearts. So we appreciate that so much, and your support of that here at Bear Creek. Well, when I was a kid, we used to ride our bikes around the neighborhood. Whatever happened to that, anyway? Whatever happened to riding your bike around the neighborhood? Doesn't happen anymore, does it? It's like video games and stuff like that. But I used to ride my bike. Well, we'd ride around in like little gangs, you know. And I remember down the street, there was this man. It was an older gentleman, an elderly guy. He used to smoke a pipe, and he'd stand in his backyard, and he had this beautiful garden, and he'd work his garden. And then he would go, "Hey, come on over here, kids." And we'd come up to the fence. And it kind of, I wanted to give you a picture of kind of what he looked like. So I found a picture on the internet. There he is right there. So just imagine a guy like that. All right, that's not really him, but just imagine a guy like that. He comes up, Mr. Coffee, he comes up to the fence. And what he would do is he'd hand out little slices of tomato from his garden to each of the kids. And a little green bean each, you know. And I, you know, we all hated vegetables, okay? It's not like kids run to vegetables. But we liked him so much that we thought his vegetables were better than the vegetables mom was giving us at home. And so, yeah, they were. That's true. And he would give us blackberries from his blackberry vine. And so it was kind of like this. Here's what our crew kind of looked like back in the 80s right there. Some of y'all remember that. I hope they never bring the shorty shorts back, because I won't be wearing those like I did when I was a kid. But you know, when I think about that, and I think about, you would also see Mr. Coffee. Before the garden grew, you would see him out cultivating and tilling up the ground and the soil to get it ready before growing season. Then he would plant the seeds, and then we would ride by on our bikes, and you would see the plants come up. And by beginning of the summer, they are fully developed, and he's passing out vegetables and things to us. And you know, that's kind of a natural fruit or a natural production of a plant. And today we're going to be talking about spiritual fruit. And in the same way, we are not the producers of the fruit. It's kind of like Mr. Coffee's garden, okay? God produces the fruit, okay? But we till the soil, and we get our hearts ready and receptive, and he works through us to produce fruit. And so we're going to talk about fruit today. If you have no idea what I'm even referring to, just bear with us. But Jesus says in John chapter 15, you're going to see this on the screen. He says this, "I am the vine, you," speaking of believers, those who follow him, "you are the branches." So in other words, he's the life source, and you're a branch that comes off of the life source. "I'm the vine, you're the branches." And then he says, "Whoever abides in me," and that means clings to me, holds on to me, remains in me, those who remain in me, those who abide in me, he says, "and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit," right? Then he says this, and he closes that statement out by saying this, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." You might think you're doing something, right? You might think your work is fruitful, actually. But in the end, it burns up in the refiner's fire. Because what God's looking for is his kind of fruit on earth. He has his people, right? who are abiding in him, the life source, and he's watching to see if you are producing fruit. And so today, we're going to continue our series called The New You. And, you know, Jesus, he shows us the new you in that passage. And throughout the New Testament, we find out what it is to live out this new you. Because there was an old you, right? There was an old you before you came to know Christ. And those of you who have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray this message penetrates your heart because God loves you and he has a plan for your life. And he can give you the life that you've been longing for, the life that you've always wanted, not the perfect life with no trouble, right? But a life of joy and a life of peace, a life of truth, a life where he sees you through the trials, right? And so he wants to give you this life. But what he says in John chapter 15, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me, abide in me. And if you remain in me, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul says this, if I'm going to go on living, it's going to be fruitful living for me. And that should be on the heart of every believer in this room, every follower of a Christ. If I'm going to go on living on this earth, it's going to be fruitful living. It's going to be fruitful. And listen, the days are short, aren't they? We found out, you know, a few weeks back when we first started this series, The New You, we found out, just looking in Psalms, that through the Psalm, we ask these important questions. Who are influencing you? Who are influencing you? And it talked about those wicked influencers in the book of Psalms. So that's an important question. How have you been influenced? What has tainted your thoughts? What has tainted the ideas? What has tainted your beliefs? What have you brought into this new life and drug into this new life that is hindering you from growing? What has influenced you? We also looked at what do you take delight in? Is it the Lord? If you're a follower of Christ, you should take delight in the Lord. You should take delight in him. If you're not, why not? Why not? And what do you think about and meditate on a regular basis? Are you thinking about and meditating on him, on his word? The Bible tells us that the word gives life. We find life in his word. And so are you meditating on that word? And then finally, that week, we asked the question, where is your life really? Where is it really planted? Where is its foundation? And then the following week, and I'm just sort of catching us up because we had a little gap in between, but the following week we saw that every Christian has God's Spirit alive inside of them. In fact, Paul says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, he says, you do not belong to him. That's in Romans 8:9. And so this new you is in Christ, and as believers, the new you lives by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by the old way, but by the new way. We don't live this new life the old way. We live it the new way. And so he goes on to say, those who live by the flesh cannot please God. So imagine living the new life the old way, and so here you are, and you've walked forward in a church, you've given your life to Christ, and you're living the new life, the old way. And then Scripture says, if you live it the old way, if you live it by the flesh, you cannot please God. Isn't that something? And so today, we're going to continue on with talking about the Holy Spirit. I saw this, I was kind of coming up with some thoughts and some illustrations this week, and I saw that... In the world of technology, December 1997, a man by the name of Woody Norris, he's an engineer, he's a sound engineer, he engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam for about 150 yards. This is something, I never even heard of this before. It's called the hypersonic sound. And this sound wave travels like a laser 150 yards and can be heard by a particular person in a particular place, but those around them cannot hear that sound because it's such a laser, right? And I think about we're sitting in this room right now. Do you realize there are radio waves that travel through that wall, go through your body, all right, and go back out that wall, all right? And so they're traveling through you all the time. And those radio waves, if you've got a device called a radio, you can tune into those radio waves. And when you tune in to particular radio waves, you'll get particular messages. You'll get songs. You'll get talk radio, right? You'll get different radio stations. The Holy Spirit is like this. You tune him out, he's still there, but you're not tuned in, right? And he's constantly prompting and convicting and speaking and sharing things with you and guiding you. If you tune him out, they pass through. You tune him in, and you know how to tune him in. And I'm just giving you an analogy here, but if you know how to interact with the Holy Spirit, God can really do amazing things. Now, it's going to require your obedience, right? It's going to require for you to say, and we've been talking about this for weeks now, say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even when it's hard, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so I want you to be thinking about that as we get into our passage today. One more scripture verse before. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 today. We're going to start in verse 1. As you're making your way there, I want to remind you of a passage or a verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Paul talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then it's strange because at the end of that verse or that passage, it says, it is God who works in you. So at the beginning, it says, work it out. And at the end, it says, it's God that does the work. And it seems like it kind of contradicts, but really it's a paradox, right? We're cooperating with the work of God in our lives. And what we're doing is, think about Mr. Coffee getting ready for the garden, getting ready to produce vegetables and fruit, right? Think about that. What we're doing in cooperating with God is we're cultivating the soil, preparing ourselves to receive things from God. And so when we open the Bible, it's not just about information, it's about personal transformation. When we open up God's word, when we're in a service like this, when we're in a life group, when we're seeking him, our hearts are receptive. The soil is fertile and ready to receive, and God begins to speak through his word into your heart to convict your heart. And you begin to change. And some people change faster than others. I've seen people sit in pews or sit in church seats forever because they're stuck in a dead religion. And then I've seen people grow by leaps and bounds. And I have seen several people in this church grow by leaps and bounds. And give the Lord praise for that. But it's about working out your salvation with fear and trembling is about okay, you have been saved. You've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. You've been saved. Now let's get this worked out. Let's get ready. Let's get prepared. Are you hungry? Do you desire him? Do you seek after him? Are you open to his word? Or is it a religion that you wear on Sunday and then you go back to regular life the rest of the week? Look, it's an everyday 24/7 thing. Are you open to him? Are you receiving from him? So we make ready him, we make ready ourselves to position ourselves to receive, to cultivate the soil and be ready to receive from him. And so we're in Galatians chapter 5 today. We were in Romans 8 last week. Paul wrote both of these books. Both of these passages, chapter 8 in Romans and chapter 5 in Galatians, are very similar. They work really well with one another if you want to take some time this week to read those two. But the book of Galatians, it's a little bit different. It's a different tone that Paul has in this book. In Galatians, he's sort of putting his boxing gloves on, okay? Because he's pretty irritated about what's happening. These Judaizers had come into the church, and let me tell you what the Judaizers are. The Judaizers were Jewish converts to Christianity, okay? So they lived out a Jewish faith. They came to know Christ, and they were converted to Christ, so now they believe in Jesus, all right? But now what they want to do is they want to go back to law living, and they want to go back to circumcision. That's what they want to do. And so what they do is they come into this church in Galatia, and they're trying to win people over on this idea that they need to be circumcised and they need to get back to the Old Testament law. All right, that's probably the easiest way of putting it. And so as followers of Christ, Jesus, when he comes, he says, the scripture tells us that he is the fulfillment of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. And so as followers of Christ, what we do now is we turn our attention to the person and works of Jesus Christ. To the person and works of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he sums it up and he says, all of the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Love God. Remember this. Talk about this all the time. But he says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the law is love. So we fix our eyes on the person and works of Jesus, and we are reminded continually of the one law, and that is to love God and to love others. But these Judaizers, they thought that grace was kind of like a license to sin. And so if there is no law, they're thinking, if you're not going to follow all these laws that we've been following, Jesus calls them a burden, right, on the shoulders of the people. And he says, if we're not going to follow the law, everything's going to fall apart. It's going to be like a license for everyone to sin. If you're saying that Jesus covers everything, it's just going to give everybody a license to sin. And Paul addresses this in Romans 8. He says, it should not be. That is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. And so these Judaizers come in. And so here's what happens in the book of Galatians. The first two chapters is kind of a personal account of Paul and his life and his ministry, his calling. The second two chapters is doctrinal, and so Paul gives several explanations on why you are saved by grace and not by works. And then the last two chapters are kind of practical, and so he's going into practical application here when he talks about the Holy Spirit. And so keep that in mind as we sort of move forward here. Let's start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I want you to always keep in mind as we're making our way through this, the old you has attempted to manage its life by the flesh. The new you cooperates with the Holy Spirit. It walks by the Spirit. Keep that in mind as we read this, okay? So here's Paul, and he's addressing this problem in the church. And he's talking to the people in the church. And he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That yoke of slavery is getting back underneath the law and the circumcision, and being back underneath that. He says, don't submit to that again. You are free. And he's wanting them to live free. He wants them to catch this. Verse 2, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Verse 3, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. And so if you accept that teaching, if you accept the law, and if you accept circumcision, you are required to keep it word for word. Verse 4, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. Because listen, that's the message of the cross. We are justified by the work of Christ on the cross. He died for us. We're justified because of him, not because of any works that we've done. Not from anything that we've done, only through him. We don't want to go back and think we're justified by following this law. And so he tells them, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. And so what this means is you've fallen away from this message of grace, that you have been saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. This is the message of Galatians. For through the Spirit, by faith, this is verse 5, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And so he says, you can get circumcised, but I'll tell you right now, circumcision, uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. Okay, none of it accounts for anything. Only this. Faith working through love. Verse 7, you were running well. In other words, you were doing so good. And then I hear this news. He's like, you were doing so good. And he asks, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Verse 8, this persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so when he says this persuasion, he's talking about the Judaizers. And these Judaizers who came in to persuade you, this persuasion is not of God. It is not of Christ. And he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, a little drop spoils everything. A little drop of this false truth, of this lie, will spoil everything. Verse 10, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. And you can hear the frustration of Paul, because it seemed as though the church in Galatia was doing so good. They were getting it. They were living free in Christ, and then this false teaching came into the church. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom. Here's that word freedom again. You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. This is of the license to sin, right? Don't use this freedom. Don't use God's grace as a license to just get out there and live any way that you want to, any way that your flesh would lead you. He says again, but through love, serve one another. Remember, what is this about? It's about faith working through love. And here he is mentioning that again. Through love. Why is he zeroing in on love? Because what they're trying to do is drag them all back to all the details of the law. Jesus came and says, one law, love, right? And so watch this. Verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the one word there is love, right? But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. You're going to start turning on one another. In other words, fix your eyes on Jesus, or you're going to start turning on each other and devouring each other when you're listening to this and squabbling over this false teaching. Did you know the law defines sin and it stirs up our rebellion? Did you know that? That the law of the Old Testament, what it does is it reveals what sin is. And so we say this, the law is like a mirror. It doesn't clean up your life. It just shows you how dirty you are, right? It just shows you how you have strayed and how you have ventured away. So it's not there to cleanse you. Only Jesus can do that. What it does is it shows you how sinful you are. And so what happens when we're presented with the law? Think about this. What happens when you're presented with the law? If I walk to my kids and I say, whatever you do, do not eat the M&Ms on the counter, and I walk out of the room, what do you think they're going to be thinking about the entire time? They're going to be thinking about the M&Ms, because the law, do not, stirs up the rebellion in the sinful human being, right? And so it's what stirs us up. The law, we want to fight against it. Why? Because sin is an attitude and an action. It's an attitude that says, I'm the boss here. I'm the boss of my life. This is my life. I can do with it whatever I want to do with it. That's the attitude of sin. The action of sin plays out in many, many different ways, as we all know. So here's Paul, and he's really bearing down, and he's addressing these things. He's saying, what happened to you? And he's telling them to get their eyes back on the grace of God, back on their duty to live by faith and to embrace the one law, the law of love. In verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because the reason he says this, and he shifts here, is because what he's saying is, he's saying, this is a matter of flesh and spirit that we're dealing with here. This is a matter of flesh and spirit. And so what he's saying is, you want to solve this problem? This wrestling that you're going through? You want to solve this problem? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Now, when we talk about the flesh, we're talking about sinful man, right? That sin nature inside of us. That's the flesh, the sin nature. And so that's what we're talking about here. And the sin nature wants to take control and wants to work everything out. And I find myself doing this. You know, sometimes I want to fix something, or I want to get something done faster than I think God is working, right? And so I try to jump out ahead of God. I try to grab hold of that project on my own, and I'm doing it in my flesh. That's flesh. That's Christianity. That's me living in my faith, but trying to jump out ahead of God and live in my flesh and trying to wrestle things out of the hands of God instead of just praying, waiting on Him, trusting in Him, coming to Him in faith. Instead of doing that, I'm jumping out in front of Him in my flesh. Do you see how flesh works? And so these Judaizers, let me say this about the flesh. The flesh and the law tend to sort of work together. They tend to kind of work together. And it's so easy for us to think that if I follow the rules, and if I beat my flesh into submission to follow the rules, God is going to be pleased with me. And what Scripture tells us, and what Paul is teaching them, is that is living by the flesh. And we are called to live by the Spirit of God. So watch what he says. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are not led by the Spirit, you are judged by the law. Does that make sense? If you're under the Spirit, and if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But take a lost person, okay? And this is talking about a lost person, okay? A lost person who is just living by the flesh, okay? They're going to be judged by the law, right? The saved person, we are going to be covered by the blood of Jesus, amen, okay? And listen, how many of you struggle with being led by the Spirit or being led by the flesh? Isn't this a struggle for all of us? I mean, it's a struggle for all of us. But our desire is to please him and to live the way that he has called us to live. I didn't even get to my main passage today, and here we are at time, so I'm just going to have to do a part two of this one next week. but maybe this was a good sort of introduction to what we're about to get into next week. Let me say this. Here's a couple of practical things that we can do in when it comes to living by God's Spirit. You hear people say all the time, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. I want to change that brain, okay? Just bear with me here, okay? Here's what I say. Love God's word. Love God's word. Love God's word. Get hungry for his word. Get hungry for his word. Get hungry for his word. Desire his word. Do you desire his word? Desire it. If you are a follower of Jesus, you should desire his word. It's just that precious. It is gold. It's more precious than anything. And so as a believer, what I say to you, instead of saying, you need to get in your Bibles, I say, you need to take a step back and find out why you are not loving and desiring and chasing the Word of God. What a privilege it is to have the actual words of God handed to us. Amen? And we should be chasing that. If we're not chasing his word, if we're not loving him through his word and getting to know him through his word, there is a problem in our walk, all right? Now look, if you don't know how to read, all right, there are easy ways to solve that. You can get Bible on audio, okay? And so there are ways around that, but you should desire to hear from God, and what better way than to hear him, hear from his word. And then next week, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. This is the next practical application. So first is desire God's word, love his word, develop a hunger for his word. Number two is ask him to produce this fruit of the Spirit in you. Ask him to produce, and we're going to go through each of those fruits in detail next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful that you brought us here and you spoke a word into our lives. And Father, I know that there are those in here who struggle with this, as I have in my past, with how to operate by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you'll walk them through this, that they'll come to understand it's about knowing you. It's not about a religion. It's about knowing you. Instill that in their hearts. Settle their hearts in this matter. That they, when they get close to you, when they know you, they become more like you. And they walk by your Spirit. And that person that feels maybe distant from you, maybe rejected by churches, or maybe just struggling in some kind of way, I pray that you'll speak into their hearts today, and that today they've come to understand something new about you that awakens them with your word. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.